This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. Great to have you with us for the Monday, October 26th edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Jennifer Kuiper in for Cisco Cotto, and the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. On today's Noon Business Hour, we'll talk about the busiest week of earnings season so far. Dunkin' Donuts confirms that it is trying to go private and talking to Inspire Brands. And on Stock Picker Monday, we have two recommendations from an investing expert. The latest wave of COVID-19 is impacting the energy markets. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the week ahead includes a flood of earnings reports, the latest tally of the GDP, and more talk of a pandemic stimulus bill. We're joined by Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, Smart Portfolios out of San Diego. Jim, I can't ignore it. I mean, we're in the red today, big time. What's your take on what we're seeing on Wall Street today?
Well, I think as Elisa Parenti described, the market is confronting the reality of a huge increase in COVID cases, not just in the United States, but in Europe. And even though we're not likely to see lockdowns, Jennifer, the reality is people change their behavior, and it is going to have a negative impact on U.S. growth as well as global growth. And we don't have the news of another stimulus package, if we will, to offset that negative news. So it's like a 1-2 punch, and the market's responding accordingly. And finally, technically, the S&P was trying to hold above 3420 over the last week. So today's break below 3420 starts to trigger stop losses, and it also looks like a breakdown. My take has been an anticipation that the S&P was going to drop again towards the 3200. So everything is kind of aligning up for more additional weakness.
Jim, what is your thinking on what you've seen so far out of the earnings season? And today we saw SAP, Hasbro, Chegg, NXP. Yep. Anything that you found interesting or odd or just pretty much what you expected?
Well, what we've seen, Jennifer, is the majority of companies. I think it's like 75-80% of the companies that are reported have beaten revenue estimates and earnings estimates. And yet the market is obviously not improving on that news. So the COVID news, the lack of additional stimulus is overshadowing that. And I think the same thing could be, it could be telling when the big FMANG stocks all come out this week. I suspect their numbers are going to be really pretty good. And it'll be interesting to see if they're selling on that news. I think there will be. There may be a bounce. But again, technically the market suggests a drop to 3,200 is coming.
How important is that guidance this earnings season?
Well, it's important, but the bigger overshadowing thing here is, again, we need more stimulus. We've got a tale of two economies. You've got some segments that are doing really well, which is going to be reflected in the technology reports. But then we have a huge swath of the economy in terms of restaurants, small businesses, anywhere where there's face-to-face contact going on, that are really, really hurting and really rely on getting additional stimulus. And then lastly, obviously, we need a solution to the COVID problem, and that's going to be months away. I think we're talking mid-next year before we'll have a vaccine and be able to inoculate enough people. And then it's a question of people's willingness, to get a shot.
That's Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, Smart Portfolios out of San Diego. Thanks for joining us. And coming up, a fragile energy market reacts to the latest surge of COVID-19. The energy markets remaining volatile as the pandemic gets a second wind. And we welcome Phil Flynn, senior market analyst, Price Group, and Fox Business News contributor. And Phil, why has oil been falling?
I think there's a lot of concerns, Jennifer, about a second wave of the virus. And concerns that we're going to shut down the economy again. One of the worst things that ever happened to the price of oil was the shutdown of the global economy. It caused prices to go below zero. And oil traders are afraid we're going to play that out again. And on top of that now, you have reports that Libya oil production, which was offline because of a lot of unrest, is coming back. That could add 1 million barrels more to the oil market every day. And then to add insult to injury, take a look down at the Gulf of Mexico. You have another hurricane potential, which right now is Tropical Storm Zeta, that could shut down production. So you just have one thing after another, and this market's just going to really beat up today.
So what does this mean for us at the pumps when we're filling up?
Well, good news at the pump, it means your prices are going to stay low, even though they want to raise your taxes on gasoline. Enjoy it while you can, because these prices are going to be a lot cheaper. We're seeing the price of RBOB go back down. We did see a little bit of an uptick in gasoline prices. This recent sell-off will probably keep those prices under control, but I'm really concerned about next year. Nobody's worried about next year. I do. As I look out in the future, I think because we're not going to be producing as much oil, there's not going to be as much investment, that these low gasoline prices could be a thing of the past next year. So when we start coming out of the virus, we could see those prices really start to tick up.
Kind of leads me into my next question, which is, how has this all affected the owners of the gas stations? Are you seeing a lot of closings across the country?
We really haven't, which is kind of crazy, because believe it or not, a lot of these owners don't make all of their money from gasoline. But I have not heard a lot of that, which is crazy because people haven't been, they've been staying home and social distancing. So they seem to have been fairly resilient because people still have to get out and travel. But obviously, their volumes when it comes to actual gasoline sales has been way down.
You mentioned that you had a concern about next year and what's going to happen. What about the short term? What's your biggest concern?
I think the short term right now is the election, right? What's going to happen can have a big impact on energy going forward. Vice President Biden said very clearly that he wants to transition away from oil. While that might be a noble goal, it's not going to help the U.S. economy. If we start shutting down, 8% of our gross domestic product because we're going to get out of oil, it could mean the loss of millions of jobs. And that's going to be a very tough pill to take coming out of the coronavirus.
That is Phil Flynn, Senior Market Analyst, Price Group, and Fox Business News contributor. Thanks for joining us, Phil. And up next, Dunkin' could be going private. Shares of Dunkin' have surged after the company confirmed sales talks with Inspire Brands, the privately held owner of Arby's and Jimmy John's. Let's get insight on the potential deal with Gary Kaltbaum, President, Kaltbaum Capital Management, and Fox News business contributor. Gary, what are some of the pros and cons for Dunkin' and Inspire under such a deal?
I think there's nothing but pros. Paul Brown, the CEO who came from Hilton, he just knows great brand names and how to get the most out of them. And that's why they bought Sonic, Arby's, Buffalo Wild Wings, Jimmy John's. And now you have Dunkin', which is arguably one of the top five, top 10 most well-known. And by the way, it's Baskin-Robbins also. So I think it's a pretty darn good move. And you have to remember, debt is so cheap right now. So to raise the dollars to buy something like this is, it's almost free money. I think it's a great move on their part. And Dunkin' has proved itself. Sales were down much, much less than most others during the pandemic. That's getting real big in digital also and delivery and everything. So I think it's a win-win at this juncture.
Yeah, their app's pretty easy to use compared to some others. But how has Arby's and Jimmy John's been doing under Inspire Brands?
I try to find those numbers. They really don't roll them out. But from what I see, they're doing pretty well. And I think this buy of Dunkin' Donuts presages an IPO. So I think Dunkin' will come public again, but it's part of the Inspire Group, just like Yum Brands, which owns Kentucky Fried Chicken, Pizza Hut, and some other things. So again, and just remember, these are all brand names. You know them. They fit very well with each other. And again, this guy, Paul Brown, the people that he has behind them are genius restaurant people. So again, I think it's a smart move. And he's only paying like 8x sales and pretty much a recession-proof type business, if you ask me. Donuts and coffee.
Always good. How about Brown? As far as his technique, when he comes in and does a buy like this, can we expect to see some remodels at Dunkin' stores or something else different, or third-party companies that come in and do some work that maybe the corporate had done?
Oh, yeah, potentially. You never know what they're going to want to do a little bit differently or change things up. But I think he's smart enough to know what's working, stick with it. And I'm not sure if people know this, but Dunkin' is already in the midst of closing about 800 restaurants, where half of them were in their Speedway gas station convenience stores. So they're paring back less profitable operations, or ones that aren't profitable, or maybe they were paying too much the Speedway and making themselves tighter as it moves forward. I wish I was Paul Brown. I think this is a genius move at an opportune time.
Any stock recommendations?
Well, Dunkin's already near the buyout price, so there's not much you can do. But again, I think in the next year, we may see Inspire Brands go public for a very, very rich price.
That's Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and Fox News business contributor. And you can find him online at GaryK.com. Still ahead, a couple of investing suggestions from our Monday stock picker.
This is Chicago's all news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Jennifer Kuiper in for Cisco Cotto, and these are the top stories on the on News Radio WBBM, the Noon Business Hour. Suburban Cook County will be under tighter restrictions due to the current surge of COVID infections. The confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett as Supreme Court Justice is expected later today. Uncertainty over the election casts a shadow on financial markets. It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of suggestions from an investing pro. In business, the Dow right now is down 946 points at 27,388. The NASDAQ is down 316. The S&P 500 down 98. And we have oil down just about 3%. AccuWeather says we could see a stray flurry or sprinkle. A high 30. Right now we have a high of 42, but we're looking at 34 degrees right now. The Noon Business Hour continues at 12:31. Governor Pritzker says Cook County will undergo tighter coronavirus restrictions starting this week. The Illinois Department of Health will be enforcing regulations for Regions 4 and 10, which include suburban Cook County and the Metro East area. It starts first thing Wednesday morning. The order includes no indoor service at bars and restaurants and limits on gatherings to 25 people or less. The full Senate will vote later today on Judge Amy Coney Barrett's nomination to the Supreme Court. CBS's Nancy Cordes says, if confirmed, as expected, the judge will see important action quickly.
The 48-year-old Barrett will be seated in time to hear some key cases, including one involving LGBTQ rights on November 4th and another involving the fate of Obamacare on November 10th. And, of course, any election-related cases that arise after next week.
Coney Barrett's swearing in is expected to happen soon after the confirmation vote. And be sure to download the radio.com app to hear WBBM anytime, anywhere, or remember to ask your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio. WBBM Noon Business Hour time is 12:32.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Markets are sharply lower. We are joined by Paul Nolte, Portfolio Manager, Kingsview Asset Management here in Chicago. Paul, what are you thinking about when you look at the boards there?
It looks like a ski slope, and the snow in Chicago, I think, is priming the slopes. And it's all related to the virus, the pickup in the virus over the weekend, not just in the U.S., but around the world. We're seeing another wave, if you will, of new cases, and that has Wall Street concerned that we may step back to March or April, and we're hearing news, obviously, from Governor Pritzker today about shutting down some businesses. And that, I think, has really got investors concerned.
So COVID, but how about the election and the lack of a stimulus? Are those two or no? Just this is really just about COVID?
Oh, no, absolutely. Those are your top three. But the election, we think, will have results within about 2 to 3 weeks. Obviously, we have to count in a lot of the mail-in ballots, et cetera. So we think 2 to 3 weeks, we should have a pretty good idea that who the president will be. So that, I think, is something that has a much shorter shelf life than the virus or the stimulus package. And the stimulus package, we don't think, is going to have anything passed until January, because we don't think anything is going to happen in the lame duck Congress. It will probably be January before we see anything, but it's been something that's been on the burner now since September.
Paul, earnings week, a busy one, that's for sure, earnings of the earnings season. Anything that can pull the markets up here?
Well, it's going to be a lot of the tech companies, the big ones, Apple, Amazon, a lot of those are going to be reporting. One of the concerns that we saw, though, last week was very good earnings from a lot of the pandemic-benefited companies, but the reaction on Wall Street was very poor. And the companies that were hurt by the pandemic, they reported earnings that were okay. They actually did pretty well. So investors, I think, were looking at the expectations are fairly high for a lot of companies that benefited, like Amazon, Apple, Peloton, et cetera. And they expected very high earnings. They were met, but Wall Street kind of yawned after the news. We may see more of that later this week.
You have concerns coming up about the GDP. That comes out on Thursday.
That one's going to be a tough one to handicap, only because the numbers are so large. We obviously saw a huge drop in the second quarter, bounced back last quarter. We should bounce again this quarter. But again, those numbers are so large, it's going to be a record type of recovery. But again, when you look at it in the context of where we've been, we're still well below where we started the year at. So we have a long way yet to go.
How about home sales, new home sales? We got some information on that today, it looks like.
We did, and they were a little bit below expectations, but the home sales and homes in general, the housing stocks and housing in general has been very, very good. A lot of that is due to people wanting to move away from the population centers, move out into the suburbs, and we're seeing that type of building doing extremely well. Construction, new construction for multifamily in the cities, not as much. That's tailed off. So you could argue that a lot of what we're seeing in the housing sector is COVID-related, and that is likely to stay with us for the foreseeable future.
Always great to talk to you, Paul. Thanks for joining us. Paul Nolte, Portfolio Manager, Kingsview Asset Management out of Chicago. Up next, weighing the effect of the presidential election on markets.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The election is 1 week from tomorrow, and investors are keeping a close eye on what's projected to be a tight fight. Let's get some perspective from Mark Holbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. Mark, what are the pros doing when it comes to election uncertainty? Are they in more of a wait-and-see mode here?
Well, it's a good question. It really depends on whether you're focusing on the short term or the long term. When you look at the long term, let's focus on that first. Most of them are pointing out that over the long term, elections actually don't have that much impact on the course of the stock market. That doesn't mean the stock market will go up over the next couple of years or down, but whether it will is probably not as dependent on the election as we probably think. It really is going to be much more of function of corporate profits and the state of the world economy and other things like that. So when you focus on long term, we probably are exaggerating the impact of the election. Now, that is then to contrast with what happens when you focus on the short term. I think the biggest nightmare scenario, at least from the point of view of the advisors we track on a daily basis, is an election, the outcome of which is unclear, in which case things may be very uncertain for several weeks. Some people are talking about even up to the end of the year, if not even a little bit longer, and eventually having fights in the courts and so forth, which is a nightmare scenario because regardless of what you think the outcome should be, I think the stock market just hates uncertainty. And having that much uncertainty for that long, I think would be a huge negative for the market over the short term.
If we don't have that, if the election is decided pretty quickly, what are some of the concerns about the candidates, whether President Trump gets a second term or if Joe Biden gets in? There's been talk about the possibility of tax on dividends going up next year, that kind of a thing. What's the take among those on Wall Street, the Wall Street players and the companies?
Well, a lot of people like to play that game. They say, well, here are a group of Biden stocks you should buy. Here are some stocks you should avoid if Biden gets elected, and same for Trump. And it turns out that I am very cynical about any of those predictions. It's a parlor game that everyone likes to play. I went back and looked at what people were doing 4 years ago. So there were baskets of stocks that were called Clinton stocks. There were some that were called Trump stocks. At exactly this point, 4 years ago, in October of 2016, I went then ahead and looked at how those stocks performed over the last 4 years. And guess what? The stocks that we're only going to do well if Clinton were elected actually outperformed by not just a little bit, by a factor of 3-1 over the stocks that were supposedly going to do well if Trump were elected. So I think these games, everyone likes to play these games. It allows for lots of conversation, for traffic to websites and attention like that. But in terms of its investment significance, I would take it all with a grain of salt.
So, and Bob, I guess my question here is, what are you doing? Let's put it that way. We'll make it easy because we're talking about everybody else but you.
Well, no, that's a very fair question. It turns out that for a variety of reasons, some journalistic, where my columns appear, they don't want us playing the market on a short-term basis
right.
Anyway. So most of my money in the market is in a 401, in fact, all of it's in a 401k, and it's invested in index funds for the long term. So I haven't changed that and probably will not. So, I mean, in terms of, again, for the long term, I'd say this is a fun conversation. Who knows what will happen? The uncertainty is huge, but I think the impact over the long term is relatively modest.
And do you think Wall Street's preparing for it, for the possibility of something that doesn't get resolved quickly?
Well, I think, in fact, yes is the answer. A lot of people are hedging their bets. So even though they may not have gotten out of stocks, they're placing hedges either through the option market or the futures market and so forth. And so I think there is a lot of hedging going on just because there is this possibility of what I think people refer to as a black swan event, just something coming out of left field that could really sabotage the market.
Mark Holbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com out of Washington, D.C.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Stock Picker Monday. Joining us this afternoon is Pat Morrow, President, Patrick Morrow Investment Advisor out of Oak Brook. And Patrick, I have to point out, you were with us on the very first Noon Business Hour program.
March 12, 2001.
Ah, so it was a special day for you.
Indeed.
I hope Chris Credell and Sherman Kaplan treated you well. I'm sure they did.
Yes.
So it looks like you're with Stock Picker Monday, which, by the way, is sponsored by Wealth Management Group. Looks like you're going pretty heavy on power.
Yes. I think the utility industry is a good all-weather investment tool for 2021. Long-term, there's a tremendous changeover from coal and natural gas into renewable, like solar and wind and hydro. And I think that trend is going to really pick up the pace here in the next few years.
So it looks like you have AES Corporation, ticker symbol AES.
Right. AES is a Arlington, Virginia-based utility that operates North America, Central America, Latin America, and Caribbean. The key here is their credit standard is going from junk, basically, to investment grade. And it's happened once this year, and I think it's going to happen before the year is over again. And so it's a chance to buy into a utility company that's doing all the right things, pays a solid dividend, growing faster than the regular utility, and the quality of the investment will pick up because of the credit standard going higher.
What about your second pick, American Electric Power Company? That looks to be out of Ohio.
American Electric Power is probably one of the best utilities in the country, very well managed. Their power source is 45% coal. They're going to really step up to renewables, particularly solar and wind. And just today, in their home city of Columbus, Ohio, they announced that they're taking 50 megawatts of solar energy from a new power source in the city. So that's an indication of how they're moving away. I mean, they generate about 26,000 megawatts, so they're buying 50 megawatts a year here.
What about buying today? I mean, we have the markets are just in the red all over the place, and they have been. Dow down right now 851 points. What do you think about buying on a day like this? Do you buy the dip? Do you not?
Well, we're in the business of we buy the dips, sell the rallies, but we're not traders. But if you do the reverse, you're going to lose a lot of money over time. And I've proven that to myself over the long term. I know how it works.
Pat Morrow is President, Patrick Morrow, Investment Advisor out of Oak Brook. Thank you so much for joining us again. The stock picks AES Corporation and American Electric Power with the ticker symbol of AEP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.